Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of Across the Broken Stars, and I am joined by my fellow writers, starting with Michael R. Fletcher.
Ooh, that's me. I am Michael R. Fletcher, author of the Obsidian Path Trilogy.
Dirk Ashton.
I am Dirk Ashton, author of the Obsidian Path Trilogy. No, the Paternus Trilogy.
And we are joined by a very special guest today,
Rob's not here,
Sarah Chaun. Yes. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries. Do you want to just introduce yourself quickly to our listeners slash viewers?
Yeah, I'm Sarah, and I edit a lot of stuff.
Awesome. So that ties in very nicely to today's episode theme, because we're going to be talking about how to edit your book. And then next week, we're going to be talking specifically about how to work with a freelance editor. And Sarah has done some editing for Mike in the past. Dirk, has she done any editing for you? I'm not sure.
Not yet.
Cool. Okay, well, maybe this is going to be an audition for Dirk's editing in the future. But before we get into today's episode, I do want to have a quick shout out to recent people who have signed up to our Patreon, because I was a bit slack with shout outs during last month. So in May, we had a bunch of new patrons, including Salmon Like the Fish, Tyra, Adam, Kerry, Deepak, and Oliver. And we have also had Jared on our like anchor supporter level as well for a long time. So thank you for helping to support the show. It's because of you that we've been able to hire a producer for this, who has been improving our audio quality and creating those nice thumbnails. And yeah, it really just helps us improve the show. So if you want to check out the Patreon and get access to, at this stage, I think 3 full bonus episodes that are on there, go to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. And the link is also down below. So, editing. It's very, I guess, tempting to think that like the most important aspect of your book is, you know, the first draft when you're writing it through. But I think we can probably all speak to the fact that really a lot of the qualities of a story come through when you are refining it and editing it. And there's that Stephen King quote that good writing is rewriting. So, kind of just to set the scene generally, I was wondering if everyone can go through and just discuss the different types of editing and the different maybe editing passes that you go through with your books. Dirk, do you want to kick us off?
We're talking about self-editing at this point, right?
Yeah. So next episode, we'll talk about working with an editor.
Yeah. Working with a professional editor. My first drafts are complete and total crap. I don't even call them a draft one. I call it a draft zero. And my first book I wrote really slowly, and I would go back and rewrite a little bit every day before I moved on writing. And then it took me 3.5 years to write a book. Book 2 and book 3 of the Paternus trilogy, I learned that it was much more productive if I just forced myself to keep writing, even if there were typos, and just hit a certain word count a day. You know, for me, it was like I was happy with 500, and then I got fast enough to do like 1,000, and now I'm doing about 1,300, which is very slow compared to a lot of my friends, like Mike Fletcher. But and that's in, you know, 2 to 4 hours. I'll do that depending on the day. And then I try to just finish. Sometimes I'll have to stop and re-outline, maybe change a few things, and then just keep going until the first draft is done. And then John Grisham also had a really great quote. He said, "I'm a terrible writer, but I'm a pretty good rewriter." So when people say they're editing their first draft, I'm like, you're not editing. Maybe you are if you're good, but if you're me, you're not editing. I'm not editing. I'm rewriting. And that to me is there's a big difference. I go back and rewrite everything all the way through. And I'm doing some corrections and things, but I'm changing the prose all over the place. And that's more than editing as far as I'm concerned. Changing beats, maybe even moving chapters back and forth or parts of chapters around a little bit. And that's a rewrite. Then I have a first draft. Sometimes it's ready at that point to go to a proofer or editor, usually an editor and then a proofer, but I use people that kind of do both. But I continue to rewrite, you know, even through those, that process, which is why usually my books have to be fixed a lot after they even get released. So that's basically my process.
Nice. So if you were to compare, like, let's take the length of time it would take to write a first draft for you. How long does the editing process take in comparison to that? Is it like quicker than writing your first draft? Is it shorter?
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Quicker?
It's probably, if it takes, say, I wrote book two really pretty quickly, even though it took me over a year to get it done and out. I didn't write that whole time. So it took me actually about between 3 and 4 months writing every single day to pretty much complete that book. The draft zero, mm-hmm. But the rewrite only takes 3 to 4 weeks at the most, depending. Book three took a lot longer because that book was like 100,000 words longer. So, you know, it depends. I mean, book two was 136,000. Book three was 236,000. So, but yeah, it takes a lot less time. But I have friends who, I mean, we all do have friends who will write, you know, 5, 6, 7,000 words a day and send it straight to a proofer because they're good. Mm. They're fast. I've always thought fast meant, you know, you could have good, fast, and cheap, but you can't have all three. Those bastards.
Some people do.
Can.
Some people just don't.
Yeah,
have
they can. They can really do decent quality prose and writing in a very, very short time. Yeah.
On that note, sometimes I find that when I am pushing myself to go faster, the story weirdly ends up being better because you're not holding yourself back and you're not like filtering as much.
Yeah.
So you kind of allow yourself to reach that more creative spot. So yeah, like faster.
And I'm always shocked. And I'm actually always shocked when I go back. I'm like, this is not that bad.
Mm.
I mean, the tweaks that I have to do to it are just not as bad as they were. And a lot of times, you know, because of deadlines and stuff, I just, you know, and even the big writers, I've seen them say, you know, sometimes you just have to say it's good enough. You can have your few beautiful prose moments, but, you know, it doesn't all have to be that way. So just keep going. As long as it's telling the story and it doesn't suck, then, you know, just keep cruising along. Unless you're Fletcher and then it's all like some beautiful, ungodly, gorgeous prose and
all of it.
Well,
every
speaking
single
of Mike,
word.
Why don't you
handcrafted poetry, loving care,
Mike? Why don't you share what your editing process looks like?
All right. It's for me, it's evolved a bunch over the years. My first book, like completely rewrote several times.
Me too.
Tons of editing, shifting chapters around, all that crap. The last book, the first draft wasn't massively different from the final thing. I think I've got a bit better at catching the bad stuff on, you know, as I'm going, which slows things down a little bit, but not that much. I still end up doing like self-editing probably 7 or 8 passes. So by the time I reach the end of the first draft, I've got a pile of notes where I sort of decided something needed to happen earlier. So I'll go back, write in those scenes that I sort of like skipped the first time. Then there'll be a pass where I look for crutch words and sort of weak phrasing and stuff. There'll be a couple of passes where I just sort of just look for spots where it's heads talking. And I've sort of, you know, forgotten to like build the scene a little better. So I'll, you know, fix scene setting stuff. The last 3 passes are really just a focus on tightening individual sentences, looking for extraneous words, you know, where it's like, oh, he listened with his ears, kind of, you know, shit like that.
As opposed to listening with his nose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that stupid stuff that sneaks past you.
That Sarah still finds, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, for sure. And the very last pass now for me is I get Microsoft Word to read the book to me.
Yeah, me too.
And I read along as it's going.
Really? You do that the whole manuscript?
It's so good.
Yeah, the entire book. Wow. And I catch so much stuff. And often it's like because it's fantasy, right? We're making up names all the time. And you get used to hearing the narration pronounce it a certain way. And then when it says something a little different, you're like, what the fuck was that? And it sort of jolts you and you realize that you just misspelled like this one made up word one time. So like for stuff like that, it's really useful.
Isn't it
catching
painful?
All the little stuff.
Is it painful?
No,
no.
I set it to run like fairly quick. Mm. So it's reading fairly quickly and I read along like visually as it's going. It's not at all painful. It's kind of nice. It's probably my favorite editing pass now.
Huh. Yeah, me too. I do the same thing and it's great. Like it's so like kind of relaxing when you sort of slip into the trance state and then you're just having the story being read to you and it feels like it's not exactly coming from you anymore. It feels like it's sort of coming from someone else, which is really good for getting that mental clarity about it. But of course you can still edit and change it, which is kind of the best of both worlds.
I do the read aloud pass.
I do that too, but well, it's good to have book both, one. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, how long do those phases take you?
That's a good question.
Because that's a lot of rewriting passes or editing passes.
Yeah. Some of them I can rip off in a day or two. The longest ones might take a week. But certainly, like from finished first draft, within a month from that, I have something that's ready to send to Sarah.
Okay.
Nice. Cool. That is pretty quick. Yeah. Sarah, what about you? What does your editing process look like for your own books?
It's changed a lot, and I think it's changed a lot because I'm an editor. I used to turn it off, and it was a lot easier to turn it off. So I'd have my first draft, and I wouldn't let myself go back and change anything at all, period, until the end of it. And then I would kind of turn the editor back on, and I'd go to the beginning, and I'd start working through it again from that perspective. I'd do that maybe once or twice, and then I'd send it to my editor. The thing that's changed is I can't turn it off anymore. And then, so I will spend an entire day looking at one sentence and just like something is off here and I'm so close that I can't figure it out. So to stop that from happening, I started this beta readers group with these 6 poor souls who take pity upon my madness. And they let me take my shit and throw it on the wall in there. And then we all look at it and figure out what is bothering Sarah, and then I can move on with my life. So that's cut down that editing phase by like 70%.
Wow.
So I really, really get lost in the weeds of my own design. So yeah, that has helped a lot. It's helped a lot to have a wall there between me and all of that. And so I do that as I write now. So I just kind of have accepted editing is part of what I do. So I write and I do that at the same time. And then honestly, by the time I'm done with that draft, I'm usually ready for my editor. So I kind of do it all as I go, I guess now, versus doing it in phase. It just seems to work better for me.
I'm curious, beta readers, is that other authors? Are those just readers? Like how did you kind of form that group?
So it's about half and half. I have a few authors in there, and then I have two bloggers, and then just a few, I think two are readers. Don't ask me to do math when I'm a little bit baked. Anyway, about half of them read and half of them write, and that is that. So it helped a lot. The authors focus on very different things than the readers focus on. And between the two, they usually have figured it out. So I can kind of see what's bothering me, but I'm too close to see it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
That's been fantastic. They deserve all the cake.
How did you kind of go about creating that group? Because I know a lot of people email in the show sometimes asking like, oh, how can I, you know, get feedback on my writing, or how can I set up beta readers? And I think a lot of people struggle to create that when they're starting out. So do you have any advice for those
people?
It's
very difficult for a first-time author. Now, for Sarah, she's been known as an editor, but somebody who's a nobody, basically nobody knows who you are. This is one reason that it's good to get involved with groups like Fantasy Faction and Grimdark Fantasy, and you know,
if you're an author, like for me, it was really easy. I looked at the three people who seemed to like my stuff the most and said, hey, do you want to be part of this little secret group? And they were all like, hell yes. And
but you had to have already written something first though to get those people.
Exactly. So And if you didn't, I think you do. You need those networks, those people that reach out to you, whether they're like the other commenters on the blog or something. Some local writers group is excellent. There's critique groups everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can go on your Facebook wall and say, I wrote a thing, who wants to read it? And like maybe half of them will actually read it, and half of the people who actually read it will have something good to say about it. And you talk to those people, the people who seemed like they knew what you were asking and could talk about it. But yeah, it's all about networking.
Another website that I used back in the day, which is useful for people who don't have that network at the start, I'm not sure if it still exists or not, but it was called Critique Circle. And basically it allows you to critique other people's books. You get points from doing that, and then you can exchange those points to get your own writing critiqued. So not sponsored, but yeah, might be worthwhile checking them out. Haven't looked at them in a few years. I think it does what's that, Dirk?
I was just going to say, I did that once, but that I experience? quit because I, no, well, I just wanted my stuff critiqued. I didn't want to have to critique their crap.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are on their website. Like, they will just build up enough credits to get their own thing critiqued and then basically bail, which is, I guess the struggle of something like that.
Well, I'm a selfish bastard, you know.
I don't think there's anything that wrong with it. If you don't want to spend your life just doing free editing for other people, then that's okay, especially when you need to write your own stuff. So in terms of my own process, there's definitely elements of kind of what you've all been talking throughout this. I think one thing which we haven't mentioned, which I find very important, is taking a break after you write that first draft. Because, you know, you hit the end.
Madness.
You don't take a break. You go straight in.
Yeah, I never have.
Fuck no. I'm like, I finish and then I go straight to the first chapter.
I would love to take that month or 2 months that Stephen King says take, right?
Sure.
I would love to do that, but I always get myself into a bind having pushed my due date, and right now being on contract, I just won't be able to do that. I'm supposed to deliver this book to the editors in mid-September.
So, you'll get there. You'll get there. It'll happen.
Yeah.
So you guys don't even take like a single day. You just go like the next day. Really?
I haven't.
No, like same day.
Whoa.
I will finish it and go straight to the first chapter and start reading and like making notes, or I'll look at these sort of notes I've made while I was writing and just throw myself into like writing those bits and fixing.
Yeah. Here's stuff that changed. Here, this is one of those many moments in this show where please do what we say and not what we do. Take that break.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to talk about how I find it extremely useful to take a couple of days, or if you can, even a week off from the book, just to give yourself a bit more objectivity when you return to edit it.
King says take a month or two.
If you have a month or two, that's great. In the past, what I've done, which has been very nice, is I might write a short story to kind of break it up, whether set in the same world or just a different unrelated thing, with, you know, no real intention of like, oh, I don't want this short story published or anything. It's just to clear your own palate. But yeah, I find taking a break is really important for me. And then in terms of editing passes, I would read through the whole thing from the start, put down notes and try to keep it high level. It's very easy when you're doing that initial edit to start like tweaking, you know, sentence structure and refining your prose. But what I found at least is that the times I've done that, it's then made it very painful when I've needed to cut bits later. And I wish I'd just read through the whole thing, realized, oh, okay, this scene needs to go. I need to write this other scene here. And then you can cut it without feeling guilt or angst, as opposed to spending, you know, like 100 hours refining all the prose and then realizing, oh, this thing needs to go.
Yeah.
So
I think after a while, the objectivity comes more quickly because...
Yes, agreed.
The first book, it was hard to cut stuff. Then each book that I've written, it's become a lot easier to just, it doesn't work. I don't become as attached as I did.
I think in general, in my experience, editing has become easier and easier the more books I've written. Because you just start to develop like that pattern recognition of knowing, okay, this scene feels right, this scene doesn't, because you've just done it a lot. And in general, like what you were saying, Mike, the first book I wrote, I probably rewrote that, like actually just deleted the whole thing and rewrote from the start two or three times. Whereas my current books, because I outlined them and have had the experience of writing a few things before, the final product is a lot closer to what that initial outline was intended to be. So I think, that is somewhat heartening if you were starting out and editing a book for the first time, is it does, generally speaking, get a bit easier, at least in my experience. Your mileage may vary. So once I've kind of done that initial read through, that's when I'm asking myself, what do I need to cut? What do I need to add? And again, it's very important to have that objectivity so that you do feel okay about like cutting a 10,000 word section out of your book, and forcing yourself to write, you know, something else to replace it. And then, once I'm kind of pretty happy with that overall structure, that's when I would start doing those smaller level fixes. I'd read it aloud to myself. I would get Word to read it aloud. Sometimes I would even change the font as well, just to again make it look like I haven't written this thing. Because if you've been staring at Times New Roman for the last 300 hours you've worked on this thing, and all of a sudden you come along and change it to Arial or something else, it is a subtle shift, but it does help you kind of see it through fresh eyes, I've found. And can sometimes pick up errors where like there were spacing issues that the font was disguising, or little things like that. And then, in terms of like the different editing passes to go through, I don't really have like a specific list, but it kind of depends on what the story needs. I find that the ones that are the most useful are trying to replace generic descriptions with specific things. In early drafts, I'm sure we can all speak to this, there's a lot of people raising their eyebrows or sighing or rolling their eyes and, you know, these kind of very crutch descriptions. And it's really good to kind of Yeah, there we go. Dirk just did pretty much all of them. That was pretty impressive. That acting skill comes in handy.
Throw in a shrug for us too.
A resigned shrug and an angry gleam in his eyes as well. That's one I've found myself overusing. So going through, trying to replace those with way more interesting and specific and character-driven descriptions is very useful.
I think narrowing eyes and jaw slack, mouth hanging open are the only descriptions anyone ever needs. And you would probably know that if you've ever read any of my books.
No. So you go the opposite approach. You go for like a minimal description toolkit. Just use the same descriptions for everything. A character's at a
makes
funeral.
It easy to re- makes it easy eyes. To read. It makes it easy to read.
That's it. Makes it very digestible for the readers, which is what you want to do when you're trying to write a book.
I'm surprised Sarah isn't vomiting right now.
Internally screaming. I mean, that's not one of the descriptions you just described, Rob. She can only choose between, what is it? Gaping, narrowing her eyes, or shrugging. Those are the only ways she can.
Well, there's there is a lot of shrugging. Yeah. I go, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up because Mike mentioned it is that when I'm writing a first draft or a draft zero, I do keep a list of things that I know I want to go back. It's my rewrite list.
Yes. Yeah,
so things that I know I'm going to need to go back and look at or go change the description of the ship at the beginning to a galleon and not a, you know, this.
Insert but foreshadowing, I'm not going to, I'm not, sense.
I'm not going to go back and do that now. I'm going to do that in the rewrite.
Mm.
Right. So yeah, there are things.
I leave myself like helpful notes, like make this suck less.
I do keep a list and it can become very fairly long and it's any everything from look for too much use of this, which is kind of generic and flows from book to book, to very specific things about that story. Make this character more of a paternal character, right? And less of just kind of a cardboard, you know, make, you know, silly, you know, little things like that that can be tweaked in descriptions and their reactions and how they speak, you know, some things like that. So,
yeah, that's a very good practice to get into. I do keep a
list because Mike mentioned that he had a list of things that he knew he wanted to go back to.
I think the most useful
Sarah,
thing about
do you
that,
do?
Oh, yeah, Sarah, do you do the same thing?
Do you do things like that?
Kind of. I try not to give myself many opportunities to really dwell on things because I will die editing one sentence in my
manuscript.
That's
why I put it in a list so I can put it out of my head.
So I make a list and then I think I could either deal with this now or I could do it for like 10 years and start, you know, it's just going to be, so I just do it now. I just, if I think this should go on a list, then I say, no, this will not go on a list. You will never, ever see anything but this list. And I just deal with it. So well, no list.
Some of the best advice I ever got was from the chair of my department when I was writing my dissertation. For my PhD and I was talking about the things I wanted to do with it. And he's like, okay, I understand you want to make this good. And he said, I really want to make this good. He said, remember that done is good. So that helped.
Those are some words of wisdom
that has helped me a lot, through fiction writing. Since then,
that's kind of prompted an interesting thought. What for Mike and Sarah, what is the single best piece of editing advice that someone's ever told you over the years?
Best piece of editing advice? Fuck, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't have to be like, you know, life changing, but just something that really stood out to you.
Mike,
yeah, no, I
Mike,
mean,
make sure it's something Sarah told you.
Okay.
God. Stop fucking around. Finish the damn book.
Actually, that's kind of it.
That's totally me. Yeah. I'm awful.
Books are like music. You never finish it. It's never going to be perfect.
Yep.
And at some point you give up and you move on because you need to write.
It's
the
never
next
finished.
Book.
It's never finished.
My
it's
best
only
advice
done.
For editing is stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's done. Yeah. You're like,
yeah. Even Stephen King talks about that too.
He's copying me. He's a huge, huge Fletch fan.
He really is though. Doesn't he try to play guitar in a band as well? Feels like he's just an inferior version.
Hack.
Yeah, I know. He wouldn't create his own death metal songs and release it to Spotify under the band Blackstone Heart. Available for people to listen to right now if they do a little cheeky search.
Do you have any advice for basically first-time writers or early-on people, Sarah? You know, from an editor's perspective?
Yeah, I think a lot of people get trapped under the weight of their own expectations. Yep. So you write your first book and you think this is going to be the thing, but the issue there, it's fine with it being this great thing, and it might be this great thing, but it doesn't have to be this great thing right now. Right now, it just needs to be words on a page. That's what it needs to be right now. So what I see a lot of are people who stop writing too soon. And usually when I talk to them, the reason they've stopped writing isn't because they can't really see where the story's going or anything like that. It's because they don't think the book is good enough to keep going. And that's not a reason to stop. It's just not. Your book doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't. That is why people hire editors. And hey, shocking thing. I don't know everything, and neither does every other editor out there. And believe it or not, I make a few mistakes in every single manuscript. So, and I know all
the
rest
editing
of them
industry
do
has
too.
Been exposed hard
and
here.
It's just, so, I mean, nobody's perfect. Your book doesn't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. If you ever reach a point where you're like, I just can't keep, I know where the story's going, but I just really suck and need to stop, and you start doing all that, I mean, that's the point where you need to keep going. Because right now, all that matters is that you're telling the story. Wait and worry about perfection later when there is a support group to help you through it, because that's a whole other thing. But
still never be perfect for everyone. It doesn't matter what kind of book you write or how much time you put into it, you will have people who do not like it. That's just the way it is. So there's no such thing.
Yep. Okay, well, those are some good words of wisdom to end this episode on. We'll be back next week with another episode with Sarah where we talk about the process of working with a freelance editor to improve your writing. Thank you for listening or watching. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.